Hello, welcome to another edition of Clear Talk. I'm Brad Dempsey, and I'm very pleased today to have with me Roman Burchert, VP of Operations from Solutions 360. Hey, Roman, how are you doing?
Doing great, Brad. Great to be here with you today.
It's going to be an interesting talk today. We've got a very popular subject to talk about, and that is AI, artificial intelligence. So, to kick it off, why don't you just help me understand what is AI?
Yeah, well, certainly AI has been all the buzz over the last probably year or so now, right? But really, it has been around for a really long time. I think that's kind of important for people to understand. Certainly it's evolving. Yeah, but when we talk about artificial intelligence, I think a good way of explaining it really is, technology that can either match or exceed the really the intellectual capabilities of people, right? So when we think of some of those, what are those intellectual capabilities that a person has? That could be things like reasoning or discovery, learning, problem solving, decision making, and even creativity, as we've seen with with the generative AI models that have been out there, like ChatGPT and Google Gemini. So that generative AI has gotten a lot of buzz over the last 12 months because it feels real. And I think in the past, artificial intelligence had these different subsets, such as things like machine learning or natural language processing, even some robotics. All that falls into artificial intelligence. But with generative AI, it's really started to feel real for people because it really communicates things in a way that we as humans really we don't just naturally communicate. And I think that's where a lot of the buzz and the value is coming in terms of people being able to look at artificial intelligence and just understanding how it might be able to help them do their job.
So when I call my bank and they ask me what my problem is, and then that system tries to route whatever question I had to the right person, what kind of AI is that?
Well, that's more of it's kind of an algorithmic AI, natural language processing, but really, what they're looking for there is and again, this is a technology that's been around a long time, right? And with mixed results, we might say some people, in the past have really been displeased with the results you get through that. And sometimes, you do have a really good experience. Yeah, but essentially, natural language processing. So we're speaking into a computer, essentially the phone. They're processing what we're saying, really converting that to a text. And then in the past, probably some of the original or the earlier on experiences, they would pull out the keywords and then try and route you correctly. I'm sure we've all had experiences where it's done a very poor job of that. I think more recently, now we're starting to see those tools evolve and not just evolve, but really become accessible to smaller businesses, as we're able to leverage, third party tools to kind of, build out those workflows. And, it's becoming much more, I think, accessible, right, to small businesses to embrace technologies like that.
Right. Yeah, and I've heard that termed as narrow AI, and then that has been around a while. But what about AGI? What is AGI?
Well, AGI is, AGI is certainly that, it's scary to some people, but AGI stands for Artificial General Intelligence. And really, you mentioned narrow AI, right? And everything that we have today is indeed what they call narrow AI. And really what that means is, every AI has its own, very specific use case. You're not going to have AI that can essentially, take a spreadsheet of data and, make predictions on that, and also, maybe write a story or generate an image. And we see that today too. There's models out there that are very good at generating images, and there's models that are very good at doing the creative, coming up with a story or jokes. But artificial general intelligence, is really when artificial intelligence can exceed that of a human, and it really becomes, it gets to the point where some people are using the term sentient, where it realizes what it is and it knows how to think and it can learn from itself. And personally, I think we're quite a ways off from that. And a lot of people that you talk to, a lot of experts in the area also think that as well. And really, I think the reason that's gotten a lot of buzz though is because of things like ChatGPT, where it does a really, really good job of answering your question. But what you also notice is it re doesn't really it does a better job, right? The more information that you feed it, very much like a human. But the more information you feed it, the more you can guide it. The better answer you get. And just so people don't worry too much if you ask ChatGPT or Google Gemini, is have we achieved AGI yet? Today, they will still both answer no.
Are they being honest, or are they just trying to hide
Well,
the fact?
I guess that's something nobody will really ever know, right? But
Right.
hopefully they're being honest, and at this point, I think that they probably are.
So, we've been following this for a very long time. We've done a lot of experiments over the years with different AI technologies. It's in version 2302 that we've actually released some AI functionality. Can you describe a little bit about what that is and what it's going to look like to our customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So, certainly we're really excited about what we've been able to ship in Q360 thus far. One of the things that we wanted to make sure that we emphasize, one, with putting this in Q360, is this the importance of time to value. And when we say that, right, we're really talking about how do we get things into either our product or how do our customers get things into their organizations that can really start to provide value with their use of AI, and really aligning with that cost of deployment. We don't know where AI is going to go in 10 months, let alone 10 years. So for us to invest in a significant amount of time and money in developing AI solutions is a little bit risky, right? So anyway, but as we go back to Q360, one of the things we wanted to do was try and deliver something quite quickly that our customers could take advantage of. And one of those things that we were able to offer is through our Microsoft Azure integration. Microsoft Azure has a partnership with OpenAI, which is the company behind ChatGPT. We've been able to integrate directly with Azure OpenAI. And really what that means is we've built a chatbot essentially into Q360 that you can connect to your Microsoft Azure OpenAI service, and you can ask it questions very similar to what you would do with a ChatGPT. Now, the advantages of that are that with Microsoft Azure, all your data is going to stay within that ecosystem. So within your tenant, it's not going to be used to train any of these models. It's not going to be used. You have very much lower risk of having that data leaked out of your organization, which is certainly a concern for everybody. But we've basically been able to build out a solution in Q360 where you can build your own chatbots, you can create your own prompts, and by prompts, what we mean there is you can essentially tell the GPT what you want that chatbot to do. So you could have a chatbot say for helping you review your statements of work, or you could have a chatbot that maybe even gives you sentiment analysis and things like emails if you wanted to do that. So really just trying to start slow and giving customers the ability to again leverage some of the Azure OpenAI services, really use chatbots within Q360. And we've added some functionality to various forums to make it easier to send information to those chatbots. So for instance, you could be on a grid of information, maybe you have some financial information there, or some WIP information, and you can actually highlight that information and say, I want to ask you about this. And then really just, that'll send that to the chatbot. And assuming you ask the right questions, you give it the right information to help decipher that, it can potentially give you some really good insights.
That's a great point. That was actually one of my favorite demonstrations, and we did that with a WIP report, and we found that by adjusting the prompt, and I think it's important to know that you can have as many of these different repositories as you'd like in Q360, and you can tailor them, and you can assign permissions to them individually, so you don't have to worry about people using something that they shouldn't have access to. But we gave it a preamble describing what the columns in the WIP report were. We talked a little bit about the types of things that the AI should look for if we're asking for, what should I pay attention to in this WIP report? It's just the tip of the iceberg, but the world we live in today is not what we're going to be living in a year from now. Things are changing very, very quickly. Very excited to see where all this goes and how this evolves within Q360.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, you can build out as many of these different, chatbots as you want, have different permissions on them, different prompts. And there's a term out there that we've heard called, multimodal, and really, or multimodal, sorry. And really what that means is, not all AI is equal. Some AIs are going to do things better. And in Q360, certain chatbots are going to do things better. So by designing and really, having those chatbots, prompted the way that you want, and again, there's a lot of, again, they call it prompt engineering for a reason, right? You really need to work on, how do I get the best output when I'm working with these generative AI models, and really by working through that prompt and testing and revisiting, you can really get to a point where you can produce some really good outputs. So, again, back to the multi-model or, chatbot in Q360, it's really like looking at AI and all these different tools that are out there, kind of like an app, right? Or an application, just like you would use a different application, or you'd expect a different output of something like Excel. You're going to use that for a particular purpose, and you're going to use Word or PowerPoint for your other purposes. You're going to use an accounting package for a different purpose as well. So, AI, we're still not to that. And it's going to be a long time before we're to that one size fits all, AI tool. And I think it's exciting to see where this is going to go.
Absolutely. And maybe we could finish off with one quote. You talked to me a little bit about an analogy that you had about how AI compares to tools, I believe. What was that?
Well, again, a lot of people it's really uncertain about what AI is going to do for them, their job, their businesses. And I think the best analogy I've heard is that, AI does for your mind what a machine does for your muscles. And I use the example of, if I ask you to go cut down a tree and I give you a hatchet, you're certainly going to be able to do that. It's going to take you some time. But, if I give you a chainsaw, you're going to be much more effective at that. You'll be able to cut down that tree much more efficiently and effectively, and cut down a lot more trees. So that's really a good way to look at artificial intelligence and all these different tools that are out there. They're a lot like all the other applications we've come across in the past, where, again, they're going to help us, really improve our efficiency, ultimately, hopefully, improve the profitability of our business by embracing these models, embracing these tools, and really seeing what they can do for us.
Well, it's a great analogy. I appreciate your time today, and thanks for being here.
Absolutely, Brett. Great being with you today. Thank you.
Take care.